Well, we're going to continue hearing from God, from his word, and from Genesis chapter 26, and Eileen is going to bring us our reading this morning. Thank you, Eileen.
So the reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 26. In my Bible, that's on page 27, and I'm reading the whole of the chapter. Now there was a famine in the land, beside the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees and my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men at that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," because he was afraid to say, "She is my wife." He thought, "The men at this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful." When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She's really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her." Then Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, "Anyone who molests this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord had blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he was very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father Abraham dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines stopped up after Abraham had died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with him. "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in this land." From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Isaac built an altar there and called the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzas, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked them, "Why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away?" And they answered, "We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we did not molest you, but always treated you well, and sent you away in peace. And now you are blessed by the Lord." Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to one another. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. That day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We have found water." He called it Sheba, and to this day the name of that town has been Beersheba. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Thank you very much, Eileen. Well, please do keep your Bibles open there as we come to think about those words that we just heard from the Lord. Let's pray. And Father God, we do thank you that you speak to us through your word. And Father, as we come to this story from the Old Testament, from Genesis, story that has happened in history, but a story that you speak to us through today. Give us ears to hear, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. 1 second. I am printed off my sermon early and I folded it up wrong. There we go. There we are. It's now right. Well, last week we were started back in the book of Genesis. And it's a book that God uses to lay a number of foundations for his people. Foundations that include the fact that God made the universe, the world, us. Another foundation that he shows is that reality that humanity rebelled against him, that we wanted to be like God, and all the awful consequences and judgment that came from that sin that was real then and is still felt by us today in each of our lives. But then God gives us another foundation as he introduces us to Abraham. And the fact that he wants to change all that. He wants to rescue people from their sin and bring them back in to an eternal home. To bless them. To make them a great nation. Most wonderfully of all, to be their God and for them to be his people. He's a foundational building block that God gives us right at the beginning of Scripture. And as God people, we need these types of foundations, don't we, day by day? We need to know that the world isn't here just by chance, but that God made it. It is his. We are his creatures. If we didn't know that, we'd be floundering around. What are we here for? What are we doing? We need to know that sin is real and devastating, and that God rightly hates sin. And that is a problem that we all have. Otherwise, we'd spend our lives just thinking how great we are. Flawed, yes, but fundamentally good. Don't we need the foundation that God wants and came to rescue us from that sin? The foundation that he wants us to know him and to enjoy him now and forever. All these things are absolutely foundational to a biblical saving faith. But they're not the only foundations that God gives us. Think of Jesus' words at the end of Matthew's gospel. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 18. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Brilliant stuff, isn't it? But I just want to focus on the last sentence. and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus' presence with his people. If you're a Christian here this morning, Jesus is with you. But then you think, how do we know? How do we know that Jesus is with us? Because you mean, most of the time we don't feel it. There isn't a lottery type finger pointing down from the sky or a voice in your head. Bottom line, we know that Jesus is with us because Jesus said so. He said he would be with us, and therefore he is. Bottom line, we're trusting Jesus, aren't we? But Jesus gives us more than that. He gives us, and he's given us Genesis, a book of foundations, and a book that includes very clearly God's presence with his people. Look with me at Genesis chapter 26 and verse 3. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. Or about verse 24. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And then on the lips of a pagan king in verse 28, they answered, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. A chapter of God's presence with his people. A chapter that will encourage our hearts and souls as we trust Jesus when he tells us, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Not just the end of the age, but also from the beginning as well. So chapter 26 of Genesis. In chapter 25, we saw that Abraham had died. And then last week, as we came back into chapter 25, we heard of unhappy families as Isaac's twins, Jacob and Esau, showed themselves to be, well, let's just say disappointing in a number of ways. But then in chapter 26, the focus is all on God and Isaac. In verse 1, we're told that there's a famine. So Isaac packs up his family and starts to head down to the place of water in that area. And that place was Egypt. Now, I mean, it had the Nile, it had loads of water. A journey that his father Abraham took a number of years before. And like Isaac's dad, the journey as he started on initially took him to a place called Gerar, the kingdom of Abimelech. And there God spoke to Isaac. Let me pick it up in verse 3. This is God speaking, stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. Lots of the promises that God had made to Abraham are now being remade to Isaac. A permanent home, a huge family, blessings. But I want us to notice two particular things at this point. And the first is, why did God make these promises to Isaac? Is it because he's a good bloke? No. Does he pray loads? Well, we don't get told either way. Is he super duper spiritual person? Well, again, we're not told. But we are told in verse 5, his promises are made to Isaac because of Abraham. Because God made promises to Abraham. And Abraham went, yes, I believe God will come through on his promises. And then lived in the light of those promises. And just in case we miss this, it's also there in verse 24 as well. And therefore, at one level, as we gather before the Lord this morning, it's because God made a bunch of promises to Abraham, which he believed. And we're the beneficiaries centuries later. Now, yes, at one level, we're followers of Jesus because God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. He gave us Jesus, and he loves us. But on another level, God had made a promise to Abraham that his family would be so large that it couldn't be counted. And hence today, as God fulfills that promise, there are millions and millions and millions of Christians across history and across the globe. But the second thing I want us to notice is the fact that there is God's presence here as well. Verse 3, stay in this land for a while and I will be with you and will bless you. And this is a promise of future presence. It's not I'm going to be with you right now, but I will be with you. Which might got me thinking, why future presence? Not why just say, I'm with you right now, Isaac. Well, it's all to do with the first part of verse 3. Stay in this land for a while. But there was a problem in this land at the moment. We were told just a couple of verses earlier, it was drought city. And in a subsistence society, that meant struggle and hardship, perhaps even starvation. You see, God was promising to bless Isaac, promising his presence with Isaac. But what did he want from Isaac? Faith. Would Isaac trust God? When trusting God, when God said, stay in Gerar, well, that looked like madness. It would have looked like madness to Isaac and to everyone else around. But then what do we read in verse 6? So Isaac stayed in Gerar. So short, so matter of fact, but so faithful. You see, as we look at the foundations of God's presence with his people, from the start, from the very start, faith is front and center. Trusting God and God's presence, well, they go hand in hand. So many people go through life with a misconception that God is with them in some way, even when they don't trust him. Well, they are sadly mistaken. Genesis foundations show us that God is present with people of faith. Faith matters to God. But this is also wonderful as well, because it doesn't matter if you're a young child or someone getting on in years, a total utter a brain box, or someone without a single academic qualification, a speed demon on the sports field, or doesn't know one end of a football to another. The things that matter so much in our world, status, qualifications, earning power, popularity, they don't matter one bit when it comes to God. What matters to him is trust. Faith. Trust in God and his promises. Promises that are wonderfully answered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And such trust is open to every single one of us. Even you and me. God is present with people who trust him. But he's also present with people who mess up big time as well. Back to verse 6. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. And when the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, she is my sister. Because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca, because she is beautiful. What a plonker Isaac is. Despite the fact that Isaac's dad, Abraham, had made the same stupid mistakes a number of years before, Isaac went down exactly the same path. His wife was a bit of a stunner, and in the culture of the time and the fact that he was a foreigner in a strange place, that put Isaac in a dodgy position. And therefore he thought, you know, I'll just lie. He was cowardly, selfish, and most importantly of all, faithless. I mean, see, Isaac at one point is trusting God to keep him alive in the midst of a famine. Wonderful faith. But then the very next moment, he's not trusting God to keep him alive because of his bombshell wife. How double-minded. One minute blowing hot for God, the next as cold as the wind outside our windows right now. Well, Isaac is found out. He and Rebecca are spotted laughing together in a very unsibling-like manner. And therefore, the pagan king Abimelech, who had dealt with Abraham. Or perhaps it's his son, who is also called Abimelech as well, and knows the story. He just knows how stupid and dangerously Isaac had acted. An unbeliever had caught a man of God lying and being faithless to God. How embarrassing for Isaac. And we're left wondering, is God really going to be with Isaac? You know what I mean? He said he promised he would be with him, but will he be with him after this? Well, verse 12. Isaac planted crops in the land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Is God still with Isaac? Well, the answer is wonderfully yes. 100-fold harvest is spectacular. God is present with this man who trusts him, but God is also present with a man who also struggles with trust. Isaac's ups and downs of faith don't disqualify God being with Isaac. And I don't know about you, but my heart rejoices in this, because even in one 24-hour period, I can be blowing hot for God and cold for God a number of different times. And yet we know and love a God who is present with us, even in the midst of our hot and cold. When Jesus said, "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age," he meant it, and he knew exactly what we're like. He knew Isaac, he knows us. He's with us. And just before we move on, it's important to say that God had blessed Isaac materially. It was very obvious, wasn't it? But God doesn't promise material blessings in this life to all of his people. Just think of Jesus, the perfect man of faith and love. Yet he was the very opposite of being materially rich whilst walking on this earth. And sadly, some so-called churches promise material blessings to God's people. It's a dangerous lie which genuine people of God should have nothing to do with. But these material blessings that God gave to Isaac, well, they also brought some problems as well. Please look with me at verse 16. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." Success like this meant Isaac was forced away. And in the midst of a drought, what's the big problem? It's water, isn't it? And what are sources of water? Well, they are wells. And that's why we come onto this little episode about wells and Isaac finding a well or digging a well and then it being disputed and having to move on. And we're thinking, God had blessed Isaac, but his life isn't going well for him at the moment. Is God with him? Well, verse 24. That night, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant, Abraham." Notice now, it's not "I will be with you," but "I am with you." Right now. Throughout this turmoil with the wells, God had been present with Isaac. And once again, this is so valuable to us, because we so easily fall into this trap, don't we, of thinking that if life is a struggle in some way, we so easily think or start to think that God has deserted us, or at the very least put us down his priority list, that he's not with us in the same way as if when life is going well. Well, that's not true. God's presence to us does not change depending on the circumstances of life. It doesn't change because we've been hit by a COVID pandemic. And for Cynthia in hospital this morning, God is no less present with her than if Cynthia had been with us this morning here at Cornerstone. God is present in the midst of turmoil. And then as the story draws to a close, Abimelech enters the scene again, and we're told this in verse 28. They answered, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we did not harm you. We always treated you well and sent you away peacefully. And now you are blessed by the Lord. You see, here we've got an unbelieving king, and it was absolutely obvious to him that God was with Isaac. So here we've got Genesis, a book of foundations. And chapter 26 is a foundational brick that God is present with his people. And therefore, when Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age, as we take Jesus at his word, we can look at his dealings with Isaac and his presence with him. Divine presence that is in the midst of faith and failure, success and turmoil. And know that God is present with us because he's still the same God. He's the God of Isaac. He's also the God of you and me. And he's present with us in all those midst as well. And therefore, as we close, I'm just going to ask us three questions. Do you believe that God is with you? Do you believe that he'll be with you as you face this week, this month, this year? Do you believe that God is with you spatially right now in your hurt and in the adversity that you face? Because he is a God who's always been with his people in every type of situation. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you're unchanging. That to have your presence in our lives is such a blessing. And that was true back in Genesis, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through to when Jesus came, all the way to when Jesus went to the cross and rose again, and then promised to be with us to the very end of the age as he gave us the Holy Spirit to live within us. Father, thank you that we're never alone, but you are with us. And may that reality, may we rejoice further in that. May when we're tempted to doubt and to be scared in situations, to draw on that reality that you are with us and to find comfort and peace and strength because we know you are there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.